Hallelujah.
All right, hallelujah. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right, bon elect. Let's get started. Have Drea pray us in. And I thought I had it on, but I don't. There it is. Hallelujah. You can bow your head where you're at right now, and we will pray in. Praise God.
Amen. Let's go. We're not standing.
No, we don't have to stand.
Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for many blessings, dear Jesus. We pray not to take anything for granted, dear Lord. What we do for one another, how we love one another, dear Jesus. Help us always to put you first, dear Lord. I thank you for today, dear Lord. I know you've made it like no other, dear Jesus, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Lord, and we thank you, and we're glad in it. We pray over Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, as you minister to him and through him this afternoon. And we sit with receiving ears and hearts bowed before your throne. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, you have to tell them now. So, oh, they could go on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
It's Zoe's birthday.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All over the world, wherever you're at, in Africa, whatever. If you're in Europe, I don't care where you're at, you need to know it's Zoe's birthday. Hallelujah. She's 16.
Yeah.
But she was sweet before that. Yeah. Let's see. I was, what was the 27th of Heshvan was, were you supposed to do a, was she supposed to do a message about the military? Oh, she's off the hook.
Okay.
All right, so the 17th of Heshvan passed, 27th of Heshvan passed. Israel is right now in the month of Kislev. No matter how wrong or right they are now celebrating Hanukkah, which sensational gave me this sensational thing,
oh, wow.
which is a menorah lamp, which I've never seen one like this, so it's beautiful. And so you need to know that they are, I think, I don't know what day on Hanukkah they are on right now, but I haven't followed it. I usually put a candle, my menorah. Today and tomorrow. Yeah, I usually put it in my window. And I have an electric one, right? Which is like really cheating. And then, you know, but you can turn each light on. You can turn each light on, you know, for what day it is, right? So I didn't use it this year. Probably God was like, good. But so I know that they're celebrating Hanukkah, but I have to remember they are a month ahead of time. So there will be a Hanukkah celebrated because I need you guys to know and understand that all these holidays and feast days are also celebrated in heaven as well as they're celebrated on earth, okay? So if Israel has jumped on a Gregorian calendar and they're using that calendar to measure out their time, that's up to them. But it will never change God's calendar because God stays on a consistent Hebrew moon calendar. That's why every month you'll know when the 15th of the Hebrew calendar is because we'll have a full moon. Every 15th, there's a new moon. Like when Jesus died on the cross, there was a full moon and it got darkened out, right?
Yeah.
But it was a full moon because it was the 14th of Nisan. So every time it's the middle of the month, there's a full moon. God keeps the whole world on that consistent calendar, and it can't be messed with at all. So, because he doesn't, you know, have a leap year, he goes by the equinox. The equinox is here. Okay, no, we'll wait till the next new moon, then we'll start the month. And so, but they are celebrating Hanukkah in Israel right now. Friends have said, hey, happy Hanukkah, Pastor Sandy. And I don't go, you're in the wrong month. They're Jewish, they're in Israel. I don't have time to go over the Essence calendar, the Jewish calendar, the Gregorian calendar. I just say, you know, happy Hanukkah, and I move on, okay? Because at the end of this year, they will add a 13th month, and then after Adar 2, they'll be back on regular cycle with God, and they'll stay on that regular cycle till about, I think, the middle of the tribulation on the 20th in the year 2025. They're going to do this again. They're going to ignore that and go with the new calendar. I don't know. But, okay. So anyway, not Hanukkah, Heshvan 17th pass, then Heshvan 27th pass, then 2,520 days till Yom Kippur of 2028, October 28, has passed, okay? So I'm like, I don't have any more prophecy dates to give. And so I hate to tell people, like, I was just sitting there thinking, like, what do you want me to teach? What do I need to do? Because, and the Lord just kind of expressed you, this it's impossible for you to know a calendar that's been changed so many times. So understand and know what you've already been shown. And what do we know that we've already been shown? We are in the end times, okay? What have we already been shown? A worldwide trouble started in the 120th year, right? So we have to go with what we've already been shown. We know that a form of 666 is now in the world right now, being forced upon some people. And God talked about and wrote about that in what, 90 AD, and it's presently here today, okay? Yeah. And that was the one thing that the Lord wanted me to really express. There's so much prophecy that has happened in front of us. It would be foolish to ignore the times and the dates we're living in, right? Okay?
Amen.
The title that God gave me for this message today is Saved from Hell and Tribulation in 2021. So to me, that is something to rejoice about.
Yeah.
Because 2021 does not change, because it's still the year of lament. It's still the year of going up. Rather, it'll happen at Hanukkah, happen early spring, or rather it'll happen in Tibet. Whatever month is going to happen, we are still in the year going up, which is lament, okay? We did a great, huge study on Lazarus being resurrected on the fourth day of Hanukkah. And so someone sent that to me, and oh yeah, it could be the fourth day of Hanukkah before, but for them, then they said, oh, the fourth day of Hanukkah passed. I said, well, it's not till next month, so let's just wait on that too, right? So I think God is like, I told them they don't know the day or the hour, but but it's fun watching them try, isn't it? And because he did give us the permission to watch, and he did give us the permission to pray, and he did give, then he also said, it is the glory of God to hide a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out the matter. So he said, keep searching, keep watching. If you ignore that the current thing right now is under 666, and that there is a cryptocurrency that is coming, because the world's not going to be in cash forever, and there's a cryptocurrency that's coming that also has the same code of 666, then you need to know and understand Somebody wrote about 666 in 90 AD. That needs to register in your brain. Revelation was finished 90 AD. That means 2,000 years have passed, and then all of a sudden they're doing exactly what the Bible said do. So don't ignore the obvious to be disappointed. You understand? Because the obvious is still this. What the Lord gave me the title today, you are saved from two things, hell and tribulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And both of them are as real as the chair you're sitting in, okay? So I want to begin with a scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Let me know when you're there. I'm already there. Now, it says here, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. You hear that? So Adam was not deceived, okay? And so the scriptures is letting you know that even though the snake deceived Eve, he did not deceive Adam. When Adam saw Eve eat of the fruit, something caused Adam to eat, but it wasn't the deception of Satan.
Right.
What caused him to eat, even though he wasn't deceived? The love of his wife.
Yeah.
The love of his bride.
Yeah. Wow.
He said, if she's going to experience death, I'm going to experience death. And so, how is this a prophecy about the second Adam?
Good one.
Aren't you the bride of Christ?
Yes.
Have you not sinned?
Yes.
Did Jesus know that you got deceived and you fell into sin?
Yes.
Has Jesus sinned? No. But he chose to take upon your sin out of what?
Love.
A love for his bride. You understand?
Yeah.
So the prophecy of Adam and Eve was, I'm not deceived, but I know you're going to die. But instead of watching you die on your own, I'm going to take on sin and experience death for you or with you,
yeah,
so that you can be saved and you can be saved out of it.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, to me, that's real love, because Adam is sitting there and he's thinking, oh my goodness, she's done. But he doesn't say, well, too bad. And Jesus doesn't go, well, they're born into a sinful world. Well, too bad. He says, no, I'm going to go down. I'm going to take on the fruit of that what she ate as well. And when I take on that fruit, it's going to cause both of us to experience. See, because your flesh has still got to die. Jesus died in the flesh. He went down into Hades. And he did not go down there to get tormented like some bad preachers do. He went down there and he said he made an open display of them.
Yes, he did.
And he took back the keys of life and death, right? And so Jesus experienced all this, not because he had to, but because he volunteered to, okay? The same as Adam.
Yes.
Let's see. Now, when Jesus came down to pay for our sins, he had to know, and you have to know this from Jewish history. If I want to marry Drea, I'm going to first go to her father and find out what is the price, the wedding price, to marry your daughter. Now, I want to give something that's worthy of my love for her. You understand? So when a Jewish man is going to get married, he's going to offer the father a bridal price, a bridal cost, right? And he's going to display upon him whatever riches that he has because he wants to marry the daughter, okay? So he pays a bridal cost. Sometimes he would know the bridal cost. Sometimes he would offer more than what the bridal cost is, but he knew for one thing for sure, He could not have that bride unless he paid a bridal cost.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
So, I've explained it before and I'll explain it one more time. The constellation they call Libra, which is called the scales,
mm-hmm.
okay? How many star constellations are there?
48.
Thank you. Because if you say 12, you're wrong. There's 48. One of them is a cross. And you know where it sits? Right underneath the menu. You understand? Underneath the scales that say this is the price is a thing called the Southern Crux. It is a star constellation. It sits right underneath the scales. So Jesus is the one who put the stars there, right?
Right?
He knows what the price is going to be to purchase you. Before he comes, he doesn't leave and come to earth without knowing the cost, okay? Because he put it under the scales, so he already knows that it's going to cost blood on the cross for that bride, okay? So, let's go to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, and let's begin to read in verse 5. This is Jesus speaking himself. He says, the sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. He's prophesying about when he comes to earth, rather he's going to go through it or he's going to change his mind. What he's declaring here before he even comes to earth is that I'm not going to draw back. I'm going to do exactly what we planned before the creation began, okay? So he says here, the sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me. Now he says this, I offered my back to those who beat me. This is in Isaiah. That means he hasn't even offered anything yet, because the New Testament hadn't even started, and in the book of Isaiah, Jesus had not even come. So since Jesus had not even come, that means what? He already knows what's going to happen when he gets there, okay? Satan is going to try to get Jesus to come off the cross. Don't do this. Whoever saw the Passion of Christ, that is that little midget guy that they was holding, that was the creepiest thing. That almost made me walk out the theater. But he said, don't do this for them. They're not worthy of this. It's too much. Don't do this. That's what he's saying, like to Christ, right? Don't do this. And so the whole thing with Satan was, don't do this. Don't rescue them. Don't pay this price. Back out of this and let me have them, okay? Or just destroy them.
Right.
Forget about this part of your creation. So it says here, I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. They didn't show that in the Passion of Christ. And it says, I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting, because the sovereign Lord helped me. I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. What does it mean to set your face like flint? Like I'm going to, like firm. Like if you're going to hit me, go ahead and hit me. So he was like, determined, like, I'm going through this. If you want to punch me, go ahead and punch me. You want to whip me on the back? I'm offering my back to you. Go ahead and whip it. You understand? He's doing this all for what? He's paying the price for who? the bride. This all, this visit to heaven, I mean visit to earth, is all about coming to pay the price for a bride. And so for us to think that he would come and pay this price and that he's forgotten about the wedding, you have lost your mind. Nobody pays an expensive price for something and then leaves it. Let's go.
Amen.
It says, I did not hide my face from mocking or spitting because the sovereign Lord helped me. Let me see if that's where the Lord went. Okay. For the sovereign Lord helped me. I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. So Christ is like, I'm going to be vindicated. I'm going to get exactly what I came here to pay for. Okay? Now, let's go to in the same chapter 50, and let's go down to verse 10. Okay, now listen, you guys. Who among you fear the Lord and obey the word of his servant? Anybody here fear the Lord? You obey the words of the Bible? Okay? Okay. This is a question that God is asking. Christ is going to come. He's going to pay the penalty. Who among us fear the Lord and are willing to do what? Obey. This is not about acknowledging that he exists or acknowledging that he died on the cross. That's not salvation. I'm going to acknowledge it, and it's going to cause me to obey. You understand?
Yeah.
You're not going to hear this that much longer, because I'm telling you, good, sound teaching is about to disappear.
Yeah.
And it's disappearing to this day. And it says here, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant, which is Jesus? Let him who walk in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord. What's his name? Jesus. And rely on his God, Yahweh or Yahweh, whichever you want to say. But Jesus is God. So if you fear the Lord and you're willing to obey, let the one who is in darkness, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But now, all you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go walk in the light of your fire and of the torch you have set ablaze. This is what you will receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. What did God just say? He just said, I've provided a light and a way for you to make it into the kingdom because I've paid the price for you to escape. But if you want to light your own fire, you say, well, like Pastor Sandy was at 19. Well, I heard about Jesus and I did accept him, but I found Islam. I think I like this fire, and this fire will lead me to heaven. Okay, this is the Oprah Winfrey thing, like all things lead to heaven, right? God's like, I know where I live. I tell you which way, how to get there. I tell you how to get there, right? This is how to get there. To tell me, oh, I can just go this way and then go. No, I just told you where I live, okay?
Amen.
And Jesus is the way to get there.
Yeah.
But if you want to go your own directions, go to Mexico.
Right.
But you'll never get to my house.
Right.
Okay? God has provided a way. But he understands that some people are going to want to light their own fire, light their own torch, go their own way, do their own thing. And he says, Fine, this is what you'll get from me. You will lie down in torment. Okay? Now, none of us have had the opportunity to experience hell or to know what it's like. It's only the Bible that gives you a glimpse of it so that you can make proper decisions, okay? I had a dream one time, and a young girl, I was telling Pastor Ben about the dream the other day. He said, oh, I remember when you had that dream. I had a dream. This young girl was at her mother's house, right? And I'm dreaming, and the girl is saying all kind of profanity to her mother and saying, he loves me and I love him and blah, blah, blah. And she's cursing out her mother. She goes into this store, this little convenience store, and she comes out and somebody starts shooting and she gets hit. So I ran over to her and looked. And when I looked in her eyes, she dropped into the ground. And it was like I could follow her, and she was already screaming, where am I? What is this? What is this? And she was in pain and torment right there. And then I woke up and I said, Lord, does it happen that fast? And he said, as soon as they closed their eyes. And so that made me stop trying to tell people, oh, don't worry, you'll be okay. Just keep, you better take life serious.
Yeah, right.
You understand? Because God has made two places for you to be. And if you have the torch that he lit,
yes,
even if your eyes close, you'll never see hell.
Amen.
And if the rapture happens, you'll never see tribulations.
Amen.
See, so you've been saved from two different things.
Yes.
You don't want to go through tribulation, and you don't want to see hell. Okay?
Amen.
Let's go to 52, Isaiah 52. I think we're in verse 13. It says, see, my servant will act wisely, and he will be raised up and lifted up and highly exalted. That is Jesus. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. You hear that? They're saying that Jesus is up on the cross and he's been beaten so bad you can barely tell he's human. This is a price. But let me tell you something. He knew the price before he came. But this is what he's doing to save you. This is why you can't trample over this. You know what I mean? I mean, just imagine you like, okay, you're going to buy somebody a gift, right? And you're like, man, I don't have enough money. And somebody says, well, if you work in my yard and pick fruit and dig a couple of trenches for me and do a few errands for me 5 days straight, I'll give you enough money, you can buy the gift. And you work 5 days, and you're just putting it in, and they give you the money, and you go buy the gift, and then you take it to the person that you bought it for. They don't know what you went through. They just know they're about to receive a gift.
Wow.
And they take it, and you see them walk off with it and throw it on the ground and stomp on it.
Wow.
Some of us would chase after him and start, do you know what I did to that? But see, this is the way Jesus is. Since people don't examine what he went through for you, you don't realize how much it costs for you to have the light of Jesus in your life. For you to be walking around knowing you'll never see hell and you'll never see tribulation. The Lord said, even if the rapture has not happened, one thing you know, Sandy, you'll never see hell and you'll never see tribulation. That has not changed,
right,
even though I haven't came yet.
Right.
And I don't want to see tribulation and I don't want to see hell. Because both of them were not made for the bride of Christ.
Right. Amen.
And then it says, so he will sprinkle many nations and kings and shut their mouths because of what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So who's believed the message? I think everybody should watch A Case for Christ. Remember that guy he did everything he could do to prove that Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross, and that event in history never happened. You see, I seen A Case for Christ? After all his investigation, this is a true story. This is what got this guy to believe in Christ. Because he was an investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune. He wanted to prove to his wife that Jesus never died on the cross and this whole event was just a hoax. So he dove into it and investigated. And when he finally figured it out, when they finally told him what was happening and all the proof that they had that Jesus had actually died on the cross, he became a Christian. The event happened. And it happened the way the Bible said. He did get punched in the face. He did get spit on. He did get mocked. He did get the hairs pulled out of his face. He did get nails in his hand and his feet. All of this he did do. For what purpose? To save you. He don't even know me. He did it for everybody that's going to be born after that event. Out of what? He wasn't deceived.
Right.
He did it out of love.
Yes. Right.
This is the signature of love, okay? Is what Christ is going to do to save you. If you're living in this world, you can either reject it or you can accept it. Who has believed our report?
Yes.
You can light your own fire. You can say, once saved, I'm always saved. That's a fire. You can light that fire. All scripture says it doesn't exist, but you can light that fire. Even here it said, who has believed and wants to obey? Because once saved, always saved does not call for you to obey. It just calls for you to say a magical prayer and acknowledge that God lives above the clouds. It won't help you.
Amen.
Let's go to Luke chapter 16. Verse 19. I'm going to read right through. It says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came for the beggar to die, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this flame or in this fire. So here's a person that dies, and immediately he says, I'm in agony and I'm in flames. So he's telling you what it's like there. The bad thing to me was you could see this water on the other side, because that's cold. That you can be in torment and fire and flames and burning,
And you can see cool water just across the way, but you can't get out your pit to go get none. There's a gulf fixed between you and them, and you can't even get out to go get. So you're asking, oh, there's that guy that I ignored every day and didn't care about him every day. And could you have him dip his finger in the water and come cool my tongue? But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received more good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And beside all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, and nor can anyone cross from there to us. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, and I have five brothers, and they're also a bunch of sinners. Let him warn them. He don't say that part. I made that part up. Let him warn them that they will not also come to this place of torment. So now what does he have? Memory. He remembers that he was on earth. He remembers he has five brothers. He must know how they're living because he's asking him to go and warn them. Okay? So if a person is in hell and in torment, they can remember the times that people told them, you should stop doing that. You should live for Christ. I had a friend up in San Francisco when we was preaching the rapture. We was preaching the rapture, and I think 2017 came and went, and he wanted to call me to give me a piece of his mind. No, he wanted to... So he left it on the text, and you know, I don't usually read text, but I looked at it, and it started off like, I shouldn't have listened to you. So I'm like, let me listen, let me read this. This is, you telling me about the rapture, I made my girlfriend move out because I believed the rapture was coming, and so I made her move out so we don't be fornicating, so we could make it in the rapture. So she moved out. And I've been doing all this just so the rapture came, and 2017 came and went, and I didn't get raptured. You're a false prophet. I can't stand you. I hate you. Now, do you think I read that with hallelujah? I'm so glad you called me to do this, Lord.
Wow.
I thought you've been not only saved from tribulation, you've been saved from hell. If you die living with your girlfriend in fornication, unrepented, you go to hell. So it's not just tribulation you're trying to escape. You're trying to live right to also escape the other place. But people, they think this is all about the tribulation. No, I would rather go through the tribulation than go to hell.
Amen.
I don't want either one. But if you gave me a choice... Because I know once I go down, I can't come up.
Right.
But I know I can confess Christ and get my head chopped off, and I could still maybe make it in.
Right, ma'am.
But absolute for sure. Now, here's somebody that's mad at me because the rapture didn't happen, but I'm preaching to him Christ, and he moves out, and he doesn't want to live in fornication and do this. And we stopped drinking. He said, we even stopped drinking. Ooh. It's like, really? Hallelujah. But I'm mad at you because the rapture didn't happen. It's still going to happen, but let's say it don't happen for 2 weeks and you die in one. You still don't see tribulation and you still don't see hell. You should be thanking me.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Here we go.
Amen.
It said, Abraham replied, Moses and the prophets, let them listen to them. He's like, could you go tell my family? He says, no, they got the prophets. Let them listen to them. And he says, no, Father Abraham, he says, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And he said to him,
if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets and Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead and tell them. And like, people gonna sin if they want to sin. I don't care if somebody comes from the dead and tell them, I just got left from hell. Don't go there. If you want to drink and you want to fornicate and you want to do the things you want to do, it don't matter what anybody says to you. Why? We talked about it. Your will override intelligence. Because your body is stupid. And your emotions are immature. Okay? And they want to go to hell. They're dying to. Your body is like, I'm going to go to hell. Can we go to hell, please? Just let me go to hell, please. And you're like, no, we're going to live for God. And your body is like, no, no, we want to live for God. And your emotions like, this is so sad. I just want to go to hell with the body. And your spirit is like, we're not going. Shut up and go to your room. And so, even if somebody comes from the dead and tells you and you want to sin, you're going to sin.
Yeah.
Because your body is always talking to you every day. That's why you read and pray every day. That's why you put on the full armor every day. Why? Because every day you wake up, your body and your soul are trying to take control of you all over again. But you have a new spirit living inside of you that's transforming you into the image of Christ.
Yeah.
So therefore, you can win this battle, but if you want to, you can quench the spirit. How you quench the spirit? Just like this. I don't hear you. I'm going to the bar. I don't hear you. I'm going over his house, and I don't hear you, because the Holy Spirit's going to say, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay? So understand that the battle is going on. It's not that the price hasn't been paid, but the battle is still going on because the deceiver still says, I still think I can get him.
Mm-hmm.
I still think I can do it. Here we go.
Amen.
Let's go. I moved from Luke. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Ooh, we are going all over the Bible today. Hallelujah. How do you, what's that? All right, the time Scrooge has spoken.
Oh, my goodness. Woo! That's a good one.
I just said that for Christmas, for the Christmas. That's just for the Christmas season, Pastor Bill. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because Pastor Ben does this, you know?
Yeah. You got 5 minutes.
Okay, watch this. Here we go. Daniel. Chapter 9, verse 27. Watch this. He will confirm a covenant with the many for 1/7. That's a 7-year period. In the middle of the 7, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wings of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Who's he talking about that's going to confirm a covenant with the many for 1 7-year period?
Antichrist.
The Antichrist.
Yeah, Antichrist.
So Daniel is telling you that 7-year period is coming. See, tribulation don't disappear because the rapture hasn't happened yet. And you're still saved from it if you're still in Christ. But one thing's for sure, the 7 years is coming. You know how I know? Because Psalm chapter 48 said Israel was coming 2,000 years before it came. The thing that they're giving you has 060606 on it, and God wrote that in 90 AD, and it's 2021, right? So it seems to me that the Bible is coming true no matter whether you believe it or not. And tribulation is coming no matter whether you believe it or not, right? So he's going to confirm a covenant with the many for 7 years. You don't have to go through it. Do you understand?
Amen.
You said, well, what if it doesn't come and, you know, what if the rapture don't happen? Well, then you'd also are saved from hell and you're not going there either in case something happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm covering you on both ends, okay?
Yes.
Let's go to Luke chapter 17. See, this 2021 is very important to me, you guys. It is still the year of going up.
Amen.
It is still the year of going up. And I'm still waiting on to see when the Lord is coming. And I'm telling you right now what the Bible says is going to happen. Watch this. You in Luke chapter 17. Let's go to verse 28. It says, it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all.
Yes.
Now, this is what the Lord told me today. As it was in the days of Noah, is still amongst you right now, and it's glaring you in the eyes, and you're not afraid of it. See, if we're in three days of darkness, that old myth, right? Everybody be, oh, the rapture's about to happen. God said, the biggest sign that something's about to happen is that people are still eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, building, buying, and selling. He said, that's when you all should be very scared. Because when I drive home, they're building a new building.
Yeah.
People posting weddings.
Yeah.
People still going to the store.
Right.
Don't need a mark.
Right.
Just go in, put your mask on for some of them. Some of them you don't even have to.
Yeah.
Buy what you need and come on out. Even in the worst of the countries, Austria, if you're going to the store, they still let you go to the store. So I'm just saying, what the Lord was showing me yesterday, the scariest part is what you're living in. Because as you see people still marrying and giving in marriage, and God says, that's going to happen up until the day that it happens. So don't sit around looking for the bigger sign, the bigger blood moon. That's not it. God told me yesterday the biggest sign is things are still going on as normal. And he said, that's dangerous because that's when I said it'll happen. It says, it will be like it was in the days of the Son of Man. It says, it will be like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the roof of his house with goods inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever tries to keep his life will lose it. You hear that? Hey, I'm going to do a Hebrew study on that. Lot's wife looked back, and everybody thinks she just glanced.
No, she
desired. It said she looked back with a longing desire. She missed sin. She was like, oh, and I get the club no more. She was looking back at it like, oh, I'm a miss fornication. She was looking, the Bible, the Hebrew said she looked back, but the word means with a longing desire. And she was going to miss it, right? And she was, look. So when God said don't look back, what? He's saying don't look back to that stuff. You know what I mean? You're sitting up there talking about what you used to do. You better forget about it.
Amen.
It said, whosoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that day, on that night, two will be in the one bed, one will be taken, and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and the other one left. Where, Lord? They asked. And he replied, this is studying, where there is a body, the eagles will gather. He said, where they're going in their resurrected bodies, the eagles will gather. Where do eagles gather? Above the clouds. In the other one, that's I think in Matthew, it says where? He says, where there are dead bodies, there will be vultures.
Yeah.
So he's saying judgment is going on down here, but where these are going is above the clouds.
Yeah.
Okay? Two different words. One means eagle and the other one means ravens. Okay?
Amen.
Two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left. Now, the two being in one place, one being taken and the other one is left, the one being taken is going where? A wedding feast. A party that's been preserved for what? Thousands of years. Who someone came and paid the price for you. So do we think that God's going to forget about the wedding because it didn't happen when you thought it was? Remember the 10 virgins. All of them went to sleep.
Yeah.
They said, you know what? We thought he was coming and he didn't come. He said they all went to sleep. Five went to sleep in sin, okay? The other five went to sleep with oil in their lamps, okay? When the trumpet came, the five with the oil in their lamps woke and went into the wedding feast. The five who were living in sin confessing, oh, I'm a Christian. I just don't have no oil. Well, go buy some for yourself now because it's too late. The trumpet is blown. Right. You understand?
Right.
So the Bible is saying, that as we're waiting, it may get to the time where we all are just like, you know what, I'm just tired. I'm just going to go about life. When he comes, he comes. I'm going to enjoy the Lord. I'm going to praise his name every day. I'm still staying my word. And I'm going to do this, right? Beautiful. But the five that are saying they're not ready, they weren't ready before the rapture, and they weren't ready after the rapture. Then Christ comes, then they come back and they say, Lord, Lord, open for us. And in the Greek, he says, I can't see you.
Yeah. Amen.
And what does that mean? There's no light shining. Remember, I gave you a light to lead to where I'm going, but you made your own light.
Amen.
Last scripture, Pastor Ben. Here we go. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. Then I'm going to let Pastor Ben have his clock back. It's like he enjoys it, huh? 5 minutes. Okay. Now I'm going to shock some people who are still nailing each other. Like, what seal do you think we're in the tribulation? You're not in any seal. Okay? There's no seals been opened. And then while we're in heaven, we will see the seals being opened. It says, I say in a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror. He's riding out as a king, and guess what they're calling him? The Christ. They're not calling the Antichrist the mean Antichrist. They're calling him the Christ, which tells you what? There's a reason why. The Freemasons have 46,000 churches. Somebody's got to convince those people when he comes that he's the Christ. Somebody's got to do that. You know what I mean? Somebody's got to preach to your flesh
until the trumpet blows, so that you're not concerned about living right, or when Jesus is coming, you're concerned about the latest new message. I was going through all of the titles of all of their messages that they give, the Stephen Furtick's and T.D. Jakes and Creflo Dollars, and they all had to do about you and your life and what God is about to do in your finances. Everything, every message was the one of them preached, oh, and don't worry about your sin. Why should you worry about your sin if Jesus died for your sin? What about the young man who his father gave him the part of the wealth and he left and spent his money all kind of frivolous living? He said he never was unable to be the son. He was still the son, even though he was living in sin, even though he was spending his daddy's money on prostitution and drunkenness and all kinds. He got that the man at home never said, he's not my son anymore. He said, and then when he returned, his father met him and ran to him and put a ring on his hand. So you got to understand, even if you walk away from God, you are still part of the family. I went, I was like, he never mentioned that while he was in the field, he said to himself, I have sinned against my father. What I have done is wrong. I will go back to my father and say to my father, Father, I have sinned against you. Forgive me. So he went back after repenting. What this guy was preaching is that repentance is not necessary. And then he starts saying, you see, we think that that person going into the gay club is not our brother and sister in Christ anymore. But they are. That person who's drinking alcohol and getting drunk and fornicating, you think he's not your brother anymore. But he's still your brother. Because the Father never gives up on him.
Amen.
Wow. And I was like, wow. He's teaching those people, once they're saved, they're always saved. And they're drinking it up, and they were clapping, and they... Then Kanye came out and gave a word.
What?
It was at that guy's church, at Michael Todd. And I was like, God! I was like, is this what's going on in the church? It's happening. Look. Fifth seal opens up. I mean, third seal opened up, fourth seal opens up. And then it says famine. There was a famine. That the people were being killed by famine, by the wild beast of the field. But to me, the famine was the craziest, because I would hate to die of starvation. It's a slow death. But it says in the tribulation, people will die of the famine. Of no food to eat, they will die. Of thirst and famine, they will die. Now, if you don't, what was that movie that I watched, Pastor Ben, in the Ukraine, where they starved to death 3.9 million people?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Stalin starved to death 3.9 million people in Ukraine, blocked off the whole country, stole all of their food, and wouldn't let anybody go in to help them. 3.9 million. So what we think, oh, that it's impossible to starve. He'd starve to death 3.9 million people. And tribulation is coming. And Jesus says that time will be the worst time in the history of mankind. So whatever they saw in World War I, World War II, and all that, God says they didn't see what the tribulation people are about to see. And so now the price has been paid. Look, I started rejoicing. I was in the backyard. Jackal was in there talking to Drew, and I started rejoicing in the backyard because I was like, it's true, Lord. I'm never going to see hell, and I'm never going to see tribulation.
Amen.
What am I feeling bad about? I'm sitting in the back like, Rio's like, reality overcame me. I stopped worrying about, oh, the 17th of Hezron passed, the 27th of Hezron. What am I going to preach on now? The Lord's like, You'll never see hell, and you'll never see tribulation, and the rapture's still on, but you'll never see tribulation or hell. And I'm in the bathroom, I'm like, my Lord, you're right. Reality just hit me. Mm-hmm. I can live in you in confidence because my confidence is in Christ.
Amen.
I can live in you without fear because you said you will never leave me or forsake me. Even I believe this, I believe this. If they told us that we could not go to the store and buy food anymore, God will find a way to get food to us.
Yes, I believe that.
I just believe that. I think that God would do all kinds of incredible miracles. Angels would show up at your door. Take it. Just take it and close the door, girl. You'd be like, and you'd be praying. I just believe that I trust God.
Yes.
I'm not going to sit up here watching all that stuff and be so fearful, knowing that I'm already saved from tribulation. I'm already saved from hell. But I'm going to let YouTube scare me into a frenzy where if you don't do something tomorrow, God, I don't know what we're going to do. That's how people are living now. I'm not with you on that.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
But I'm with everyone who trusts in God. And are walking according to the light that he's already provided. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Good word, man.